We're talking with Connie Evingson today on Center Stage Minnesota. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
It's good to hear you. I am talking to you because you're coming back to Hibbing, Minnesota for the Great Northern Radio Show.
I'm always excited to come back to the Iron Range. I was born in Hibbing, and it's really where my interest in music started. My father was a very avid jazz fan, and so I remember, you know, my earliest memories are being in the living room hearing jazz music. And we lived actually right across the street from the high school. Initially in a triplex, which I think is still there, and then we moved to a single-family house right next door. And so I remember, you know, growing up there and the high school kids across the street. And at about age 7, I think it was, I got pulled into a production of The King and I at the Hibbing High School by my church choir director, because I sang at Our Savior's Lutheran Church down the street. And so anyway, they cast me as one of the children in The King and I. And so that high school auditorium made a big and lasting impression on me. I just felt very at home. I thought, yeah, I love this. This is where I want to be. Not understanding, of course, that not all high school auditoriums look like that. But it was a great experience. I remember going through the post-show blues when the show was over. I think it, you know, we had probably maybe a couple weeks of a run. It felt like 2 months for me at that age. And so it kind of set me off on my course of not only the influence of jazz from my dad, but also musical theater. Hibbing and the Hibbing High School is still very important to my identity and development as an artist.
It's really great to hear about having a history like that. So were you in musical theater productions as a child, besides The King and I?
I think The King and I was the only one I did there. We moved to Duluth when I was 10, and then I continued to do musicals in Duluth. I did My Fair Lady with the high school. And then my family moved to Minneapolis when I was 16. So when we got to Minneapolis, I actually didn't sing for a while because the concert choir was full when we moved here. There were no open spots. So I studied dance with Minnesota Dance Theater, and I studied photography at the Minneapolis Institute of Arts. And it took me a while to get back to singing. But once I did, I had more dance experience, and so I would audition for some musicals that were being done here by Minnesota Opera at the Ordway, for instance. I did The King and I with them as an adult, so that was kind of interesting to do the same show, you know, not as one of the children, but as one of the wives. And I think I did South Pacific with them. I did a couple operas.
That's wonderful. That explains the wide range of, or the strength, I should say, of your voice. It's really a strong voice. It's been a long time that you've been doing that. And I remember seeing you in More by Four back in the day. How fun was that to be in More by Four?
Yes. Well, it's funny you mentioned that because I'm just getting ready to do a More by Four rehearsal this evening. More by Four is still together. We don't work together very much anymore because we're all so busy individually, but we are doing some upcoming gigs at the Dakota in a couple weeks. You know, More by Four was my meeting Sanford Moore and kind of being prepared to do that gig is all because of my background in Hibbing and having listened to my dad's record collection. One of my favorite records, or he had several, by Lambert Hendricks and Ross, the vocal group. And I loved that stuff from a very young age, 5, 6 years old. I was singing along with that stuff. There was just something about it. They sounded like they were having a ball. And it, you know, because it was harmony, I was familiar with that sound from choir and chorus, and my background and the things I listened to prepared me to be, you know, a candidate to sing with More by Four. I think also certainly the chorus experience that I had, you know, growing up and singing in school choirs and church choirs, and the kind of instruction that you would get about blending and, you know, how to sing with other people. And at one point, I really became a fan of Manhattan Transfer, again, because of the Lambert, Hendrickson, Ross interest I had. So, you know, once I met Sanford Morey, it was about 1986. And they were pretty new. The group was just together about a year, and somebody had left. So there was a spot open, and he asked me to take that place.
We're talking with Connie Evingson on Center Stage Minnesota. She'll be one of the guest artists on the Great Northern Radio Show coming up on November 17th in the newly refurbished Hibbing High School Auditorium. So you've had a chance to do quite a bit of music, and I saw somewhere that you said you would like to do an aria. Have you had the chance to do that yet?
No, I haven't. I keep thinking I would like to. I mean, I at home I will sometimes sing along with a, you know, classical legit singer and see what I can get out, and I like to make that sound. It's such a sort of thrilling sound. But if I were to really tackle an aria, I think I would do it with a coach, you know, a classical vocal coach, so that I really did it properly. And there are a lot of minefields there, you know.
I'm sure.
There's certain parts you have to negotiate the breaks and the voice in a different way than you do in other styles of singing. You know, so there's some technique there that I think I'd want to be sure I was doing correctly.
It's really fun to think of you at home singing along, though. That's a great picture. This is just kind of personal for me. I really enjoy Dave Frischberg, and I know you did that Dave Frischberg album. What was that like? I would just like to hear what it was like to work with him.
Oh, funny you ask, because I'm reading his autobiography right now. It's called My Dear Departed Past. And I highly recommend it. There are parts that I'm just laughing out loud. Like nothing else has made me laugh out loud like that. Dave is one of a kind. He is so amazing. I've always been a fan as well, and that project happened because I learned that Dave Carr, the saxophonist that I work with a lot here in town, I've been working with him for 30 years, one day he told me that he met Dave Frischberg when Dave Carr came here and was going to the University of Minnesota, and that they used to play together, and I was like, oh, I didn't know that. So we, you know, just one thing led to another, and Frischberg came here for a couple weeks, or maybe it was about a week, and we recorded, I think it's about 12 or 14 tracks. He's brilliant, you know, wonderful piano player as well as songwriter and singer. And in some ways, this happens, I think, a lot. You listen back to a record years later and go, oh, I think I would do that differently now. And I think when you're doing the music of the composer and he's in the room, you perhaps are more cautious or more careful. And, you know, with good reason, you want to respect the material. But it was really a great fun and honor, and he's just funny and so, and he's hip. He is so hip. I think he's always been hip, but in the book, I'm getting a lot more insight, you know, into him and his life story. It's just, it's fascinating how he found his way as a, you know, jazz singer, songwriter, pianist who is so unique. Who is it? I think Johnny Mercer. He tells a story about Johnny Mercer gave him a great compliment, but he qualified it. He said, you're my favorite songwriter right now, but you're so uncommercial. And, you know, Mercer would, you know, be aware of that because he was also a businessman and, you know, knew how to write hits, but also I think was true to himself. Frischberg, in some ways, his writing is so, so clever and so smart, but it isn't simple. And it's not probably, because it's more sophisticated or complicated, it doesn't get a lot of radio play. I mean, the jazz stations play it. Do you guys play it?
We do play it, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, the jazz cognoscenti knows of Dave Frischberg. And actually, there's a lot of millennials who know his work. They just don't know his name. The people who grew up with Schoolhouse Rock. I am a huge fan of Dave's.
Well, and I appreciate you singing those songs because that's your take on them, too. It's really fun. What are you working on now besides these concerts that are ongoing? Do you think you'll have another album out, or what are you working on?
Yes, I just came from the studio, actually. We were there earlier today recording a couple of tracks for a project I'm working on. It's called Hornucopia, and it is songs that are of, by, or about favorite horn players. This is something that Dave Carr and I are collaborating on. And we're just kind of focusing on songs that were either written by or written about some of our favorite horn players, like Sonny Rollins, Clifford Brown, Miles Davis, Johnny Hodges, Lester Young, Benny Carter, Benny Golson, mostly sax players, but a couple of trumpet players, Miles Davis and Clifford Brown. And we're having a ball doing it. It's really great. So Dave Carr is on it, of course, and Tanner Taylor, the wonderful pianist, Gordy Johnson, bass player that I work with, I've been working with forever, and Max Santiago is on drums on some tracks, and Jay Epstein is on some tracks, and Jay is going to be playing the show in Hibbing.
I'm looking forward to that. That sounds like what an interesting way to create a playlist on your album, a track list. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, we're having fun making the arrangements.
Well, it sounds like it'll be a great set of songs for us to really pick up on your voice again and hear some more music. And
a little bit out of the box.
That's good. That's very good. We'll look forward to also to seeing you up in Hibbing. Do you come back to Hibbing very often?
Well, my family still has a cabin at Lake Esquagamah. So, yes, I'm up on the Iron Range in the summer mostly, but and sometimes we'll take a trip into Hibbing or Virginia. So, yeah, I still feel like the range is in my blood.
Good. Well, we look forward to seeing you there and look forward to a great show. And I look forward to meeting you in person and at that event coming up on November 17th.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it, too.
Great. Well, thanks for talking to us today.
Okay, we'll see you on next Saturday.
Yeah, the 17th of November. Yep, Great Northern Radio Show.
Great.
All right,
okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Connie Evingson on the going to be on the Great Northern Radio Show with Aaron Brown and the whole cast of characters coming up on November 17th. You can still get tickets for that, and it's going to be a great show. So we'll make sure you get there. That was Connie Evingson. We thank her for being part of Center Stage Minnesota today. Let's hear something from her right now.